And this is the Global
Love
Church of God.
Radio.
There has been some kind of technical process that is not working, but this connection should be now. This is the Global Church of God, and this is your host, Dr. Christian, the pastor of Global Church of God in worldwide and nationwide services. The Global Church of God covers all biblical issues and all success issues in life and everything possible that is needed for the good life. The Bible is the basis for our teaching, so we want you and your family, every member in your family, learn to know the Bible. The Bible is the book for success in our life. It's written by human beings, down by the dictation from God and by God. So it is not developed, the material is not developed by human beings, but directly by God. How do we know that? In our website, we have evidence for you to see what it is. We want you to read that. We want you to study those 101 pieces of evidence with you, with your family, with you in a daily dinner discussions. But before you can discuss any of these topics, you really have to study them and study them in a weekly meeting. Weekly meeting is where every family member is present and you handle certain material that you have all decided to study during the week before, and then you discuss the material in that top, in that meeting and go forward week after week, year after year, year after year, year after year, as long as anybody is home. This is the best family building technique, and your children will thank you for the rest of their life when you have done that kind of family meeting. Do it. But at the same time, what you read in the Bible, hand in the Bible, apply the information. Remember the saying, there's a saying, quotation, knowledge is power, but that's a wrong statement. The better statement is this way, the correct statement. Knowledge is no power. Only applied knowledge is power. Now, let's go back to this family meeting. The family meeting, somebody is leading that, and everybody in your family is present in the meeting, including your smallest babies, so they get used to that issue that you had in some family meeting. The family meeting will go on 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, but it will strengthen your family. It will strengthen your marriage. And it's something that you will never give up when you start it. So handle the material that you read during the week before, and then you discuss the topic about like this, and someone will read the group every week in a rotating basis, including your children, so they will learn group reading techniques for their school. Recently, we have handled Joseph's story, the facts of what happened to Joseph in the Bible. soldiers who was deceived by his brothers and sold as a slave to Egypt. We have all kinds of similar experiences in our life, more or less. Not that we will be sold as a slave, hopefully not, but it can be possible also, because it happens today around the world. Those human beings coming from Asia, Africa, they are all sold. They are all as sex slaves. They are sold as fast food industry slaves, and they hardly get any payment. They just get the place to sleep somewhere, and then they get some food and clothing. But that's all they get, basically. And those kinds of people exist. Slavery is still existing in this world, of course, is illegal. No, okay, let's go back to Joseph. They sold Joseph to Egypt. So what happened then to Jesus, Joseph? Joseph became actually very rich man and very famous and powerful man, finally, in Egypt. What this story is supposed to tell to us, controversies and difficulties are for us to go through and to fight and through, so we have better life as a result. Any kind of, course, we don't have to be sold as slave, but any kind of problem is solved, and don't give up, we get stronger. There's a saying, when God wants to give you a gift, he always puts it in the form of a problem. When we solve the problem, we get wiser, stronger, and more knowledgeable. So, there's a gift. That's a gift. When something happens in your life that it is difficult, or something that is really bad, something that you think you cannot solve or handle, that you rather would die, even, don't have those wrong beliefs. Thank for a problem. Respect the problem and say, thank you for this problem, God, that you sent on my way. And now give me guidance in Jesus' name. Ask in Jesus' name. Everything you pray, every time you pray, teach your children and you also to pray in Jesus' name. Then you pray to God. Don't pray to Jesus, but in Jesus' name. Always pray to God. Pray to God in Jesus' name. Don't pray to angels. Don't pray nothing else but to God, but in Jesus' name. Jesus says, I am the road to God. No one can come to God without me present and going through me. That's what it is. So always in Jesus' name, whenever you pray anything, in Jesus' name you pray and ask God whatever it is. And that will happen if it's something that is whatever you pray, it will always happen if that is for your best and it's not hurting anybody in this universe. And it's according to God's laws. What are the God's laws? They are in 10 commandments. Commandment means success law. So study those things. Start the Bible meeting study from this 101 evidence, pieces of evidence. When the Bible was dictated by God, he also dictated to his secretaries, who happened to be Jewish people, because they had the most advanced writing technology at that time, and maybe some other reasons that we don't know, God only knows. But anyway, several people, hundreds of people wrote down the Bible, and yet it is likely it would be written by one person. They wrote it down without knowing that the other people write it down also something. So the whole Bible is like a story. It's not a folklore. It's not a folk story. It's just nonsense. It's all true, and it has happened. Everything was there. The people who are scientists studying the historical events, they prove that it's all what has happened is true. Bible was dictated about 4,000 years ago. Why? Because God wanted to give us a book as a success book for life. When we follow the book, book's guidance, we will be successful. So what we have to understand when we read the Bible, you have to have a modern language Bible that you can understand, that also that your children, everybody has to have their own Bible. If you want to have English language Bible, also have them their own language Bible as a modern language, that is a modern language that you can understand them. So Joseph was sold to Egypt and was in a prison, and all kinds of things happened. So when he was in prison, then one day some people came and was thrown thrown to the prison, and the story goes on from there that they had a dream, and then Joseph told what the dream means, and then actually that everything what they had in the dream happened, and that's how Joseph became famous. And finally the Pharaoh had a dream, and people have then told to Pharaoh that there's some kind of man, Hebrew man in the prison who knows what the dreams mean. And then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and Joseph told what the Pharaoh's dreams meant. We have gone this through. The story is in our website at www.ggcg1org.weebly.com. Weebly is the Weebly, and you know these things. That's why I go so fast those two. Now, that's the story that we already have gone through in this radio show, but the whole story is on our website, on the website tab, radio TV shows. Go and find it there. But anyway, Joseph was there and was given good guidance explaining what the dreams mean, and became famous. So, those two men that there were two men that the Pharaoh had sent thrown to the prison, and they had a dream. Joseph explained what that means, and that's how it started. That Joseph's life finally clearing up. So let's go on. The two men explained that they were agitated by their vivid and puzzling dreams, and by the fact that they had no interpreter with them. The Egyptians, they placed a lot of weight on dreams and depended heavily on the men who claimed to be able to interpret the dreams. The two men did not know that their dreams had come from Joseph's God. But Joseph knew that immediately. He assured them, "Do not interpretation belong to God. Relate it to me, please." So, God gave the power to Joseph to explain what the dreams mean. That's in Genesis 48. And Joseph's words resound today for all sincere students of the Bible. If only every religious person showed the same humility as Joseph did, we need to be willing to set aside prideful human thinking and to rely on God as we seek correct interpretation of this and His word and on this world and in our things and happenings in our life. This is in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and James 4, verse 6. Read, study those Bible sources and quotations what I give you in this show. And also, everything is in the same form in the website, in our website, so you can follow that there also. Now, one of those two men was a cupbearer. Cupbearer was an important position in Egypt because everybody wanted to poison everybody who was important to have is that person's position. So the person who was a cupbearer had to be monitoring that no one can poison through any kind of drinks what Pharaoh is drinking. And the other one was then chief baker. Now, those are very important in their life in Egypt, those people. So that's what the story goes on. So the cupbearer came first. He told Joseph of a dream about a vine, V-I-N-E, vine with twigs that bore clusters or grapes. The grapes ripened, and the cupbearer squeezed the juice into Pharaoh's cup. Thanks to God, Joseph instantly knew the meaning behind the dream. He told the cupbearer that the 3 weeks twigs meant 3 days. Within that time, Pharaoh would restore the cupbearer to his former position and take the cupbearer from prison, because evidence came up that it was wrongly done, and the person, the cupbearer, was wrongly sold to the prison. So that's what Joseph told. Then, as relief swept over the cupbearer's features, Joseph added this request: please show me loyal love and mention me to Pharaoh when you get relieved. Joseph exclaimed that he had been kidnapped from his home and imprisoned without just cause. This is told in Genesis 49:15. Encouraged by the good news, the cupbearer had received the baker. The other person was the baker. Baker asked Joseph the meaning of his own dream, in which he had seen three baskets of bread as well as birds eating from one of the baskets on his head. The answer to this riddle was also given to Joseph, but it did not mean good news for the baker. Joseph said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will behead you and will hang you on a stake, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. This is in Genesis 40:16-19. Like all of God's 5 faithful servants, Joseph boldly revealed God's message, both the good news and the news of impending judgment. This is in Isaiah 61:2. Now, let's go on the story. 3 days later, Joseph's words came true. Pharaoh held a birthday party, a practice not found among God's people in the Bible times, and pronounced judgment on his 2 servants. The baker was executed, but Joseph, as Joseph had foretold, whereas the cupbearer was restored to his former position. Sadly, though, that neglected man forgot all about Joseph. Genesis 40:20-23. 2 full years passed. That's in Genesis 41:1. Imagine how frustrating that must have been for Joseph. Imagine in front of your own problems, then you think about what Joseph did and how patient he was, because he knew God would help him somehow. Imagine how frustrating that must have been to Joseph. Perhaps his hopes were high after God gave him the understanding of the bustling dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. Thereafter, as each day dawned, Joseph may have awakened with a renewed hope that this would be the day of his release, only to find once again out that the dull routine of prison life dragged on unchanged for now 2 additional years. Those 2 years might well have been the most challenging of all for Joseph to endure. Yet he never gave up his trust in his God. Notice, rather than giving into the despair, he was determined to endure, and he emerged from that trying time all the stronger. This is in James 1:4. In these difficult times, who of us does not need to work on our endurance? In order to face life's ongoing trials, we need the kind of determination, patience, and inner peace that only God can give us. As he did with Joseph, he can help us to fight despair and hold on to hope. This is in Romans 12, verse 12, 15, and 13. The cupbearer may have forgotten Joseph, but God never did. One night he sent Pharaoh a pair of unforgettable dreams. In the first, the king saw 7 fine-looking fat cows emerge from the Nile River, followed by 7 ugly, thin cows. The thin ones devoured the fat ones. Later, Pharaoh dreamed that he saw a stalk of grain sprouting 7 choice ears. But in another 7 years, wind parts and sickly sprouted up and devoured their choice ones. In the morning, Pharaoh awoke deeply agitated over the dreams, so he called on all his wise men and magic practicing priests to interpret the dreams. They all failed, this is told in Genesis 41:1-8. Whether that means that they were dumbfounded or that they came up with a variety of conflicting ideas, we do not know. At any rate, Farah was let down, yet he was more desperate than ever to find an answer to his puzzle. Please notice that this dream explaining in Egypt was a very important matter. Maybe it's not anymore for us, but in those times it was one of the most important matters in their daily life. Finally, the cupbearer in this Joseph situation remembered Joseph. His conscience stung him, and he told Pharaoh about the remarkable young man in prison who 2 years earlier had correctly interpreted his dream and that of the baker. Immediately, Pharaoh had Joseph summoned from prison. This is Genesis 41:9-13. Imagine Joseph's feelings as Pharaoh's messenger came with the royal summons. He quickly changed his clothes and shaved, likely removing all the hair from his head, as such was the Egyptian custom at that time. No doubt he prayed fervently that God would bless him in his interview. Soon he found himself in the opulent court of the royal palace, standing before the Pharaoh, the monarch. We read that in Genesis 41:14-16. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, but there is no one who can interpret it. Now I have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it." Joseph's response showed once again both his humility and his faith in his God. "I need to be considered," he said. "God will speak concerning Pharaoh's welfare." This is in Genesis 41:14-16. God loves humble, faithful people. So it is no wonder that he gave Joseph the answers that had eluded the wise men and priests. Joseph explained that Pharaoh's two dreams had the same meaning. By repeating the message, God was signifying that the matter was firmly established, absolutely sure in fulfillment. If that cows in the dream and the healthy years of rain represented 7 years of plenty in Egypt that they're coming now, while the lean cows and the sickly years of grain pictures 7 additional years of famine and would follow the years of plenty. The famine would devour the land's abundance. This in Genesis 41:25-32. Pharaoh knew that Joseph had the answer. But what could be done? Joseph recommended the plan action. Pharaoh needed to find a man both discreet and wise to oversee the gathering of the land's surplus grain into storehouses during the 7 first years of plenty, and then distribute that surplus to the needy during the ensuing famine. Genesis 41:33-36 is told. Joseph's experience and abilities more than qualified him for that job, but he did not promote himself. His humility made such a presumptuous course unthinkable. His faith made it unnecessary. If we have real faith in God, we have no need for ambition or self-promotion. We can be at peace, leaving matters in His capable hands. However, this doesn't mean that you are here in this world and you are searching and looking for a new job, that you would be sitting there saying nothing and waiting that God would speak for you. No, you have to be in that kind of situation. That's a different situation. You have to really sell yourself. You have to sell yourself and your skills and your talents that God has given to you. But also at the same time, while you cannot in many situations, you cannot go and talk about God gave me these talents, because people might think that you are not a reasonable person. You have to really be careful what you say and what you don't say. Every person doesn't believe in God. But anyway, this is a story which is not finished yet. "Can another man be found like this one?" asked Pharaoh. Pharaoh and all his servants saw the wisdom in Joseph's plan. The king also acknowledged that Joseph's God was the real force behind Joseph's wise words. He said to his servants there in the royal court, "Can another man be found like this one, in whom there is a spirit of God?" To Joseph he said, Since God has caused you to know all of this, there is no one as discreet and wise as you. You will personally be over my house, and all my people will obey you implicitly. Only in my role as king will I be greater than you, he said to Joseph. This is in Genesis 48-41. So think about what's now waiting in for Joseph in his life. He was sold by his own brothers as a slave to Egypt. But there was a higher purpose of this thing. God, with this action, this is not the whole story yet. The whole story ends. This actually saved the whole Israeli nation in the future, because Joseph used the Egypt power and Egypt riches to do that. That's another story, but let's go on this story now. Pharaoh was good as his word. Joseph was soon clothed in fine linen. Pharaoh gave him a gold necklace, a signet ring, a royal chariot, and full authority to travel through the land and put his plan into effect. That's in Genesis 41:42-44. Within the space of a day, then Joseph went from prison to palace. He awoke a lowly convict, and he fell asleep as the ruler second to Pharaoh. How clear that Joseph's faith in God was justified. God saw all the injustices that his servant had suffered through the years. He addressed those issues at just the right time and in just the right way. God had in mind not only correcting the wrong done to Joseph, but also preserving the future nation of Israel, with Joseph being a second to Pharaoh and could then use Egypt riches to save Israel. We come back to that some other time. We will see how that all was so in the future, and we'll discuss these matters. If you face a trialsome situation, perhaps an injustice that seems to drag on for years on end, do not despair. Remember Joseph's story. That's why it says in the Bible, this story. There's a purpose for this, to learn from this, to understand that we all can have miracles happen in our life when we ask God's guidance and God's mercy. Because Joseph never lost his kindness, his humility, his endurance, and his faith, he gave God every reason to reward him in the end. This is a story, but this is at the same time historical fact. This all happened. It's proven by historians. Now, more about this happening some other time. But you and I can learn from this story that when we have problems, we can solve the problems with God's help, and we give God a chance. We pray to God in Jesus' name, and when we solve the situation, we become stronger and wiser. And then we have a better future, and we can develop in the future up to any level we just want with God's help. So please learn from this, because we all have to learn from this story. That's why we took this up, is this story, because it is a very important story, and you can do the same thing. The same thing can happen to you. The same thing can happen to me. So do never give up in the front of difficulties and problems. Never. Because you will have the victory at the end. And this is now the end of this story and this podcast today. In Jesus' name, start doing what I've been trying to do with your family. Have a family meeting, and the future will, for all of you, be better than it ever would have been without that meeting. The family meeting might go on 20 years, and even when your children have gone and left their childhood home, continue that with your spouse and create a group at the same time, have some friends in that. It's never going to be a mistake to have that kind of weekly group, study group. The purpose is to study through the whole Bible. Start show that you start and read the Bible in the order like this. First, you start with Proverbs, which is easy to understand, practical advice, information. Then, the very first to study the 101 statements in a book as evidence that the Bible is dictated by God, because those people who wrote down the dictation could not have written down those kinds of predictions for the future and scientific facts that are scientific facts that are discovered maybe 1 year ago or 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, yet they wrote down all kinds of secrets from the future that they could not possibly have written down because they couldn't have known them. So somebody who knew the future and knew the secret of the universe, knew all the science facts, must have told that to them. They couldn't have written down a Bible, something that nobody could have known. So start coming to your senses and believe in the Bible. Believe in the Bible and start from there. Teach your children to believe in the Bible and you will never regret that. Because not only believe in the Bible, but what I mean by believe in the Bible, believe that this is true and the 101 evidences in our website will prove it to you. Start the weekly meeting studying those. That takes several months to go through. But that's the first step. Then start studying the Proverbs. And then take some material for the weekly from Proverbs, and a little bit from New Testament, and a little bit from Old Testament, and a little bit from Revelation. So in that order, put a meeting together and go on year after year, and you will never regret that. Let us know what miracles happened and will happen when you follow these instructions. Let us know so we can tell other people the miracles what happened in your life. This is your host, in Jesus' name, Dr. Christian.